the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast. We're in the room now with Mr. Jerry Harris with Waypoint Analytical, another one of our platinum-level sponsors, and we really are really glad to have you here today, and thank you for everything you do and the support. We couldn't put on these row crop short course without these platinum sponsors, and we're really appreciative of everything you do. So how you doing today?
I'm doing well. Appreciate the opportunity. Y'all put on probably one of the best shows in the Southeast. Run into a lot of growers. Y'all do everything, feed us well, and teach us a little something. So y'all do a really good job. We're proud to be involved with it.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. Every year we put out these surveys on what everybody likes, don't like. We always want to make this thing better and better. And without question, one of the things everybody puts on here is the food. So that's something we take a lot of pride in, cooking all these shrimp and steaks, and, you know, everything's free of charge. But again, the only reason we can do it, and I think the success of this is genuinely on the sponsors, and we just can't thank you enough. So tell us a little bit about Waypoint Analytical. What do y'all do, Jerry?
We are a full-service analytical laboratory for this marketplace, the listeners of this podcast. We have a lab in Memphis, Tennessee, Wilson, North Carolina, and Mulberry, Florida. We've tried to strategically place those over 1 to 2 day shipping from everybody. Then we have next-day turnaround on soils and plant tissue. So you can pull a sample on Monday and be spreading or making an application on Wednesday.
So interestingly enough, my youngest son, both of my kids, I got a 26 and a 20-year-old, both of them are in ag, but my youngest son this fall actually did soil sampling for the first time, and I think he did 6,000-7,000 acres grid samples, and I'm telling you, it like worked him to death. He figured out, you know, I know it's a super important thing, but it was a good job for a young man this summer, and I think he got a belly full of what soil sampling is.
Yeah, I tell you, this is Darren Dyes, and you know, it's funny you say that, Angus. I know you talk about the benefits of soil sampling maybe has on one's career. I know when I was a younger man growing up in Illinois, I remember many days riding a four-wheeler, sticking a soil probe in the ground. And in them days, I wasn't much smarter than I am now. And I always stick my finger in that soil probe, and I'd tear all that skin off around my knuckle or my fingernails and all that stuff. That's probably part of the reason I stayed in school and I'm not still soil sampling, because there's people that are way better at it than I am that ain't tearing their fingers up. But you know, one of the things, Jerry, me being a cotton agronomist, runs into my mind when I think about soil sampling and tissue testing and all that kind of stuff is, you know, y'all been in business a long time. Maybe talk about some of the things that y'all are seeing in some of our row crops, cotton, corn, soybeans, whatever, in terms of samples you see coming through your lab and some of those trends, whether it be, you know, potassium or phosphorus or even organic matter, pH, whatever. What are some just general trends you're seeing across some of our Mid-South crops in terms of levels that you see when you come through y'all's testing labs?
Last year at this show, I presented some data on 3-year and 5-year trends for Mississippi, Arkansas, and Tennessee, and the potash levels are dropping across the board. Phosphorus is holding steady. I say there's a lot of ground that has manure applied that may be skewing some of that. Of course, sulfur, a lot of folks don't think about sulfur, but sulfur is on the decline. We used to get a lot of it for free, then we cleaned up the air, and now we're not. But overall, I mean, these yields keep increasing, and the soil test levels of these elements keep dropping.
You know, it's funny you say that. I'm a numbers guy. I love numbers. I'm going to talk about some numbers over at the short course here in a little bit with respect to cotton. But if you look in Mississippi at our 8-year yield average in cotton, if my memory serves me correctly, we are over an 1,100-pound average or so over that 8-year period. The interesting part about that, if you look at the 6 years prior to the last 8, if that makes any sense, and you look at the yield difference from those 6 previous to the last 8 years, we have increased our state average cotton yield here 241 pounds of lint per acre, which to me is just unbelievable. You think about the amount of nutrients that are being drawn out of the soil and taken out of the field. That's the same is true in soybeans, the same is true in corn, and the amount of fertility is being carried out of the field and maybe some of the adjustments that are being made or not being made in our soil fertility programs. You know, and I just wonder if maybe that's not some of what you're seeing in the lab with those trends coming down a little bit.
It is. We really noticed in Tennessee when bean acres picked up when grain prices went up and cotton acres fell, because soybeans have such a greater removal of potassium than cotton does. So you really see a drawdown from that. And going back to the yield stuff, we did some work where if you just look at 5% plus or minus what the average yield is for a field, only 18-20% of that field is actually the average. So there's a lot of areas in that field where, you know, you say, well, I fertilized for 1,200-pound cotton and picked 1,200-pound cotton. Well, you had areas in that field that was making 1,500, 1,600 pounds and areas making 800 pounds. So,
You know, it's, on the potassium thing, we see potassium deficiencies in cotton here every year. I mean, it's just, especially in the last decade, we've seen it, you know, we've just seen it more and more. I think part of that is the yield. I think another interesting part in cotton, if you look historically, you look at cotton from a historical standpoint, there is data out there that will tell you that we have shrunk this maturity window in cotton. There's some data from 30 years ago that would tell you, from 1989, 28 years prior to that, that we decreased the maturity window by 1.18 days per year over that 28-day period. So in other words, for the about 28 years preceding 1989 until 1989, we were making a crop a month earlier. And if you look at what we've done since then, the yields are up, bigger yields, shorter period of time. So that tells you big demand. And it just places so much pressure on that plant to get it up, right, to get that stuff pulled up. The thing I think about when that comes up in conversation are the roots and pH numbers. Maybe talk a minute about what you see through the lab in terms of pH. Are folks doing a good job keeping up with lime and pH and all that? Or are you seeing some numbers that may trouble you a little bit?
I believe, I'm going off memory, but I believe it was 60% of our samples was below a 6.5 pH that come into the lab.
Yeah, you know, I, again, not being much of a corn or soybean guy anymore, but I tell you, you know, for cotton, I can live with 6.5. When I start seeing numbers below, I'm going to say 5.8 or so in that pH scale, I'm pretty confident that I'm seeing restricted root growth in that. I know you get to the bottom end of 5, you really got problems. And if you think about it, you can ask anybody out there that we talk to, and somebody calls me and says a plant don't look right, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to pull it up, look at them roots. If your root system's not right, your plant's not going to be right.
Well, and what sort of dovetails into that, if you see an issue in the field, pull a tissue and a soil test. I mean, plants don't lie. No matter what you think your soil fertility program is, if it doesn't end up in the plant, plants are going to tell the truth. And like you said, always pair that with a soil test, and you'll see lots of times that it's a soil pH problem that may be inducing a deficiency in the plant.
Oh, sure. You know, you talk about tissue sampling a little bit. Maybe give some folks some kind of guidance on, I'll use cotton as an example, on maybe where to pull them tissue samples from. Is it best for them to walk through the field and just snatch them top few leaves out of the plant? Or maybe should they go down 4 or 5 nodes and get that youngest fully expanded leaf that may be full up versus that little stuff in the top that may still be growing?
We recommend it's the most recently matured leaf, which is normally about the 4th node down. What we have seen before, if visually it looks like a potassium deficiency or nitrogen deficiency, do another sample and pull the leaves that are deficient, because why those leaves look deficient is because it's moving those elements to the top of the plant. So though that sample may not show it. So if you have a visual symptom, go ahead and pull 2 samples and always pair it with the soil test.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm going to tell you on behalf of myself, I know I speak for Angus, you know, we've had over 750 people through the door the last couple of days, and we just really went out of our way to do this thing first class. And, you know, for folks to be able to come free of charge, it just, you know, we don't do it without yourself, without Waypoint Analytical and many of our other sponsors. So I guess first and foremost, thank you. But is there anything you'd like to leave our listeners with as we kind of move towards the end of our podcast?
We just have a lot of clients at this show, from Georgia to the Boot Hill, Missouri to Louisiana, and we just like to say thank you to all of our clients that are here, and thank y'all for such a first-class show.
Well, Jerry, I've certainly enjoyed the opportunity to actually get to meet you for the first time, but we support your company, supports our short course, and we're thankful for that. And again, our platinum level sponsors, I mean, we could not do this without you. Once again, we'd just like to thank you and Waypoint Analytical.
Thank y'all. We enjoyed it.
The Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast is produced by the Mississippi State University Extension Service.